Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Happy Monday morning to you. I'm Andy Griffin, live from the Angelica's Mexican Grill Studios on this really sunshiny, nice Monday morning. I've often said the one maybe, I don't want to say fault, but the one hard thing about Southern Utah in the summer and early fall like now is it doesn't cool down at night. And when I lived in Salt Lake, it was so nice because, you know, yeah, it was hot. It was in the 90s during the day, but at nighttime, you got into the 50s, and it was like, oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I think we're finally reaching that time of year where it's kind of pleasant at night. It was, overnight low last night, 62. And let me get the current temperature right now. Let's see. Currently right now, I think it's... 69 degrees, yeah. So you can actually, you know, I mean, during July and August, you didn't, you know, 10 o'clock at night, 5 o'clock in the morning, it was still in the 80s or 90s, so you didn't want to do anything. But now you can, okay, all right, I can do stuff in the morning. I can get up early and go for a walk or a hike. I can stay up late and get in the pool or play pickleball or something like that. Yeah, that's because it's September. And not far from now, it'll be cool outside even during the daytime. And, you know, you'll be like, ah, I wish it was warm. But you know what? It's okay. This is a great place to live. And as is often the case, is often said, you don't have to shovel sunshine, right? And we got snow coming in other parts of the country. In fact, I read a thing today, satellite imagery showing snow in the High Uintas in mid-September. They're already getting snow up there. Okay, let's do some things here. 9-11 on KDXU. I have a pre-taped interview with Celeste Malloy I'm going to play here in a couple of minutes. I also have, right now in my hand, $10 to Angelica's. If you would like to go to Angelica's, text me right now, 435-467-5842. Text ANGEL to 435-467-5842. Right now, I've got a $10 gift card for you and a little envelope. I'm going to put it in with your name on it if you text me, 435-467-5842. All right. Let's do some Celeste Malloy. Celeste, of course, is the... member of Congress, the U.S. Congress representing District 2 here in the state of Utah. That includes all of Washington County. And just to kind of set this up a little bit, I talked to Celeste. This was actually Friday. She is incredibly busy. She said, in fact, I have a text from her people. This is a text. She was maybe going to come on live today. And she said, hey, Andy, let's try for another day. Unfortunately, I don't want to give up too much. She says she was concerned about getting the message out as soon as possible since things have been nuts. Yeah. So I just, you know, I was like, you know what? I'd love to have her on live, but I understand how it is. She's headed back to D.C. to do her job, and she just wanted everybody to kind of check out this message. Here's me and Celeste. This was from Friday.
Okay.
Andy Griffin from BXU. I've got U.S. Representative Celeste Malloy with me on the phone. She's sitting waiting out a delay, like it seems like every airport nowadays you got those delays. But Celeste, thank you for taking just a couple of minutes with us today.
Hey, I'm happy to. I flew in from D.C. this morning and landed in Salt Lake to the news that Charlie Kirk's killer had been arrested in St. George, and I am waiting on a flight to St. George right now, but I really want to talk to people in our community.
The big shocker, of course. I mean, 33 hours searching for this guy. honestly, to tell you the truth, Celeste, I thought it would be somebody from some big city, somebody from somewhere else that had an agenda, and it turns out to be a 22-year-old young man from right here in southern Utah, Washington City, to be specific. My daughters went to Pineview High School with this kid, and I'm kind of stunned right now. What are you thinking?
Yeah, it's been really strange for the last couple of days watching a big national story play out in Utah. And I've been in Washington, D.C. A lot of my colleagues have been asking me, you know, how did something like this happen in Utah? We don't expect things like this to happen here, but neither did a lot of people around the country. We're known for being polite and family-driven and community-driven. And now it's not just our state. It's right here in our community. And it's a community that's already been through a lot politically. We've had a lot of political upheaval and drama over the last couple of years. And I just hope that those of us who are from southern Utah, who live here and are going to be dealing with this long after the headlines are gone, remember that we are a community, that no parents want their kid to grow up to commit a political assassination. And there was a murder in Utah this week, and that is not okay. And the justice system is dealing with that. But I hope that we, as southern Utahns, can deal kindly with each other and be a little bit patient and soft-spoken with each other while everybody figures out how to feel about this, because this is way too close to home.
Yeah, way too close to home. Me personally, too. I you know, here's a guy who decided to assassinate a conservative activist. I am not anywhere near on the scale of Charlie Kirk, but I can tell you this. I've said plenty of very conservative things, you and I both have, on the air.
Yep.
To think that person might have heard, they lived in this community. It, like you said, it's just way too close to home. It's shocking.
Yeah, well, and because I used to be a deputy county attorney in Washington County, and so did my chief, a lot of our friends and former colleagues that were involved in this operation, and they're all hurting right now.
Yeah.
This kid's family is hurting. Anyone who was involved in Turning Point USA is hurting. I was shocked how many of my colleagues had to send staff home this week because they started their, you know, political careers at Turning Point, and they considered Charlie Kirk a mentor and a friend, and they just lost him.
Yeah.
Everybody's dealing with loss and disbelief right now, and when people are grieving, they're not always totally rational. And so right now, while so many people are grieving for different reasons, I just think it's a good time to mourn with those who mourn and give everyone a lot of grace.
Yeah.
And be our best selves. We don't have to pretend that any of this is okay. We don't have to disengage from politics. In fact, I think now's the time to lean in to civil political debate and show the world that we can do this.
Yeah.
We can disagree without getting murdery. Violence has no part of this.
The example of Charlie Kirk and who he was and how he treated people that believed different than him probably should be our very first example that we look at, our very first sample of, okay, how should I behave in this situation? And Charlie Kirk was not, you know, he came across a lot of people and they tried to trap him, and they tried to trick him, and they tried, but he was always kind, always.
Yes, and he didn't sit behind a glass wall and talk about people. He went out on college campuses and talked to people. It was a personal interaction. It was face to face, and he was always kind. And I think there's a lot we could learn from that.
Yeah, you're right about that for sure. How do we? I mean, you mentioned the need to be kind, the need to not have it affect us politically, but. Man, Celeste, that's a hard ask that you're asking of us. I find myself, again, personally affected by this because I think I always felt like I was bulletproof in my job. And my wife kept telling me, and I'm sure they're the same way, but my wife kept telling me, no, you know, some psycho person is going to want to harm you because of the things that you say, which is what happened to Charlie. And I just, I'm having a hard time resolving that in my head. Have you been able to come to terms with that?
No. No, when it's political violence, and I'm in politics, it's in Utah, and I live in Utah, and it's on a college campus, and I spend a lot of my time on college campuses in Utah. My sister works at a university in Utah. This is hitting really close to home in a lot of categories, and it falls into the bucket of things we never thought would happen here or things we never thought would happen to people we know. And I didn't mean to imply that people can't be angry. We're all going to feel a lot of things over the next little while. There's going to be information that comes out. There's going to be a trial. There's going to be headlines. There's going to be a lot of people commenting in ignorant ways and saying things that are not thoughtful. And I think we're all going to have to work through some ugly feelings. I just hope we're not ugly to each other while we're doing it.
Yeah, I had a relative of mine post basically something to the effect of, well, Charlie got what he reaped what he sowed, and it made me so angry. And my gut reaction, my knee-jerk reaction was, oh, I'm going to light her up. This is a relative of mine, but... You know, my wife, fortunately, cooler heads prevailed, and she said, no, what good would come of you lighting her up like that? And she's right, you know, and you're right, Celeste.
Yeah, and apparently, according to these really early reports, and I'm sure we'll learn more, that's kind of how a kid from a nice family in a nice neighborhood in Washington County got so angry, is having those kind of conversations and getting angrier and angrier and wanting to prove a point. So now's the time to break that cycle and have the political debates and talk about ideas and be passionate when we talk about ideas, but not resort to violence, not even joke about violence, and not encourage anybody else to be violent.
Yeah. But there's a line from a movie, kill him with kindness. And it's, of course, metaphorical killing him with kindness, but that seems like a pretty good way to live. And I really feel like that's the way Charlie Kirk lived.
Yeah, or at least kill him with patience and ideas. You know, Charlie Kirk was passionate. He didn't back down from his beliefs.
Right.
But he wasn't disengaging. And I really worry that young people especially are going to want to disengage from politics and disengage from civic life. And that's the wrong direction to go. We need to step up and step in and lean in and be part of this. People who get isolated get angry. People who radicalize tend to isolate. People who are in the community involved have frustrating days. They may get mad, but I think that's the solution to resorting to violence, is staying involved and staying plugged into the community. With that, my plane is boarding and I can't miss it, so
okay.
I'm going to have to go.
You go get on that plane and we will see you in Southern Utah soon. Thank you, Celeste. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, bye.
See you later. Celeste Malloy, U.S. House of Representatives, representing our district here in Southern Utah, addressing, well, the discovery that Tyler Robinson from Washington City, Utah, was the shooter, was the assassin in the Charlie Kirk murder. All right, the latest on that now, Robinson is in custody. Authorities say his family, friends, and acquaintances are actually cooperating. It's kind of funny because I was talking with a relative of mine and said, I don't know if I could turn in my own child, no matter what they did. And there, I mean, you've got a whole new debate right there to unpack. If you raise a child, you were there changing their diapers, teaching them how to walk and talk and everything, and then your child did something bad. Let's start on a lower scale. Say your child robbed a bank but didn't hurt anybody. Would you turn them in? Say your child assaulted somebody but didn't kill them. Would you turn them in? And then you got the Robinson situation. This guy committed a very, very, very public murder, and his family turned him in. Would you? I mean, it's easy to say, yeah, absolutely, you bet I would. But man, think about that child that you raised. They had to know, the Robinson family, their son was probably going to be killed for what he did. Deservedly so. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it. I'm just saying, man, if you're the mom or the dad and you, boy, that would be hard. And that would be, I mean, I taught you to walk. I taught you to talk. Okay, back to the news there. So they are cooperating, and I guess the point I was trying to make was, by the way, if you didn't cooperate, if you didn't turn them in, then you would be legally liable. Harboring a fugitive is against the law. Helping them escape, that's major against the law. Your child might not go to jail, but you might. Okay, officials are reviewing online communications and other evidence. No clear motive has been cited, although Governor Cox says Charlie Kirk's assassination assassin was a deeply troubled young man. This is what he said here.
Republican Spencer Cox told CNN State of the Union that's been learned through interviews involving Tyler Robinson's friends and family.
It is important, again, to understand how someone gets radicalized like this. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it happened with, as much as people wish it wasn't or don't want it to be this, these are the facts.
Cox added he can confirm the 22-year-old's live-in romantic partner is a male transitioning to become a female, and that person is cooperating with police. Robinson is set to be arraigned on state murder charges on Tuesday and also expected to be charged federally at some point. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
Thanks, Tammy. He could face a death penalty. Probably should, according to the president and Spencer Cox. This is one of those death penalty cases for sure. I haven't talked to anybody that was in the crowd that day when it happened, but I, from what I've heard and seen on video, it looked pretty chaotic because, you know, we sadly live in this time of mass shootings, and a lot of people that were at that, I mean, you know, my friend here, DJ, works at the Town Square Media. He was at the Route 66 shootings in Vegas. How many people? 51 people died, something like that. Anyway, so there was definitely mass chaos. There were people hiding and ducking and running. And if you had, you know, something on the ground, you left. You didn't worry about what was there. You were running for your life. UVU has collected all the stuff that was there on the. You know, all the stuff that was left behind, and they said people can come and claim that stuff. I thought classes were going to be back in today. Apparently, they're saying probably not till Wednesday. So, as they attempt to sort through all this stuff. And I found a great article. I found several great articles on this online, and but the one I loved the most was written by Jeff Minnick at Intellectual Takeout. He said, immediately following the September 10th assassination of 31-year-old Charlie Kirk, husband, father of two small children, and conservative activist, Bishop Michael Burbridge issued this statement. And I'm just going to quote a short little excerpt. What we see unfolding in our nation is a vicious pattern of hatreds rooted in the rejection of God, of the dignity of the human person, and the sanctity of the family. We can eradicate these ills only through a firm reliance on God, through a deeper devotion to Christ and the gospel, through a sincere love for persons reflected in law, and through a renewed commitment to justice and public order. In that brief statement lie the reasons for our culture's present sickness and evil, and the only solutions that will ultimately cure them in two of these murderous incidents, the shooting of the children at Mass, the stabbing death of the young woman in Charlotte. Mental illness played a part, but so too did our culture. The transgender individual who shot up the church was led to believe that he could live as a woman. That's a lie. The man who murdered Zarutska swallowed some of the racist poison that infects our time. Those who sat and watched this young woman bleed to death or else snapped pictures of her dying also reveal a culture rotten to the core. Though charity demands a possibility, they were too terrified to offer assistance. I think it was deeper than that, personally. While we don't yet know the motives or the state of mind of Kirk's murderer, odds are likely that the shooting was rooted in the hateful political rhetoric that stains our culture. Were we a culture of faith? If we were a culture of faith, the murder of Zarutska would have been confined. Murderer of Zarutska would have been confined years ago to an insane asylum, not only for the danger he presented to society, but for his own well-being. Instead, we allow countless numbers of the mentally ill to roam our city streets. Were we a culture of faith, the man who failed to become a woman would have been told the truth right from the start, that nature forbids him that possibility. Instead, our culture lied to him and to thousands like him by asserting that his wishes and feelings could displace chromosomes. They can't. And were we a culture of faith, Kurt's assassin would have understood that his target was a man of civility, a fellow human worthy of respect, not a bullet. Instead, radicals in our present-day culture have not only inflamed passions by irresponsible and ugly rhetoric, but have even celebrated Kurt's death. In them, the dignity of the human person seems sorely lacking. Oh, and one more key element in this culture war. The bishop twice mentions the importance, the sanctity of family. That keystone is so crucial to the health of our society is much diminished these days. Here's just one recent example. In an August 2025 poll of 18 to 29-year-olds, males who voted for Donald Trump for president declared that having children placed first, number one, in their definition of personal success, having a child is important to conservative men. Female Trump voters, these are still conservatives, but these are women, made children a sixth-place priority, number six in personal achievements. Meanwhile, females that voted against Donald Trump, they put children of the list of 13 personal accomplishments, they put having a child as number 12. That's where we're at right now. More important than building a family for these women, conservatives and progressives alike were objectives like achieving financial independence, having a job or career you find fulfilling, and owning your home. With those as priorities, the family takes a backseat to ambition and materialism, and the culture will continue to crumble. I can tell you this, on a personal note, my beautiful wife, who has put 30 years of service to our state, she's eligible for retirement. She will tell you all the things that she accomplished in her entire life, her entire professional life, how much money she made, with all the people that she helped, and all the things that she's done as a professional woman, pale in comparison to her most wonderful achievement on this earth, and that is to become the mother of five children. And somehow between when she was born and raised and today, even the conservative women put having a child as the sixth most important accomplishment. Even the conservative women, the women that voted for Donald Trump, the women that believe like you and I, they say having a child is, it's down the list a little ways. It's not that important. It's messed up. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, a couple of calendar items and items of business to take care of. First of all, Becky is the winner of the Angelica's gift card. I'll be giving a... I still have, like, I don't know, like 10 of those. So I'm going to be giving them away the next couple of weeks. And over at the home show this weekend, on Saturday, Danny came by. She won the two lagoon passes. Other people, I think I gave away four or five Angelica's cards, Benja's tie, a gift card. But the big prize was those lagoon all-day passes, and Danny won those, won two of those. So very, very cool. And thank you so much if you did come by and say hi. Jim came by, he is a lifetime, expert, worked in the aviation field, and, he passed on some pretty cool information about, air traffic control and stuff, and it's stuff I haven't quite all digested all of it just yet, but I thought that was pretty cool stuff that we'll talk about in a later show. In a little while, we're going to talk, I want to talk a little bit more about, I found an intriguing article and it got me thinking about something that I haven't really thought about that much. And it has nothing to do with Charlie Kirk and this Robinson character. It actually has to do with, back to Charlotte and that murder that happened on the mass transit on the trolley. And we'll talk about that in a little minute. It's about to, we'll talk about it in a minute. I do want to mention a couple of other things, though. Some news from around the state of Utah. There was a tornado in the Moab area, San Juan County in southeastern Utah, that destroyed a couple of homes. It was in Navajo Nation area, Indian Reservation. But Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin said no one was injured, but two homes were destroyed. Unbelievable. A tornado in Utah. That does not happen very often. Also, two men are in custody after they tried to blow up a Fox 13 news van in Salt Lake over the weekend. The two men arrested, 58-year-old Adib Nasir and 31-year-old Adil Nasir. I'm assuming that's a father and son, given the similarity of their names and ages. They face charges including manufacturing a weapon of mass destruction, terrorism, attempted aggravated arson. I guess they lit this device on fire, put it under a Fox 13 news van. It never went off, thankfully. And but those two have been arrested. They tracked to where they lived in Magna and arrested them. But wow, I saw a post today. Someone out of the state of Utah said first the assassination of Charlie Kirk and now a couple of guys trying to blow up a news van. What's going on in the state of Utah? Was what they said. And I'm just like, yeah. What is going on in the state of Utah? This is not good. Okay, some positive things. Dixie Dates is going on starting today. There is a golf tournament this morning. Let's see, where's my little calendar here? Golf tournament this morning. Activities all week long, including what they're calling Dixie Treks. This is kind of a cool idea. Basically, the Dixie Treks, which are tomorrow. There's a drone show tonight, by the way, after dark. But then the Dixie Treks. And Dixie Treks, basically, you go show up at a certain place, and then you go on a hike, or they give you a ride, and then you go hike and go see some of the cool kind of historical things about St. George. Trek 1, St. George Tabernacle. Trek 2, Watercress Springs. Trek 3, Pioneer Park Interpretive Trail. Trek 4, Heritage Cove. And then a film screening tomorrow night, My Father's Highway, about the creation of the gorge that goes through the road that goes through the gorge. A Wednesday more treks, plus a statue unveiling at Utah Tech. Thursday dinner on Maine. Have you heard about that? It's pretty amazing. They basically shut down Maine to all traffic, and they turn Maine into this big giant outdoor dining room, and you can pay and get dinner brought to you right there on Main for the restaurants at our downtown. It's kind of cool. Also Thursday, Carnival Midway attractions begin at Town Square. Things like Ferris wheel and roller coasters and stuff like that. The Dixie Roundup Rodeo is Thursday, and the Sun Bowl, last rodeo in the Sun Bowl before they remodel it. Carnival Friday as well as Rodeo Friday, and then Saturday, free admission all day to Sand Hollow Aquatic Center, Thunder Junction, All Abilities Park Train Ride, St. George Carousel, SunTran Bus Service, the Rec Center, and St. George Museum of Art. There's also a 4K and a 2K and a 4K. The rodeo parade is at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning, and then all day long you've got the Carnival Midway attractions in Town Square, plus a festival at Vernon Wortham Park. So Dixie Days. Yeah, it's kind of cool. And I don't know why, but my one computer just reset itself. I don't know. That's weird. Maybe I have caps lock on. Did I do that wrong? I don't know what's going on with the computer today. But, yeah, caps lock is on. Okay. All right, it's back. Thank you. Couple of things. First of all, I got some comments from some listeners. The radicalization is moving to Utah, and our state and our local governments need to be prepared for it. I agree with you. Great, great comment by HK. Jeanette said she loved the article that was by Jeff Minnick, Intellectual Takeout, talking about how our country needs to. One of the reasons things like this are happening is we are turning away from God. Remember, this country was founded in God we trust, right? I mean, this country was founded in the belief of God and man's pursuit of happiness through God. Jan says, Andy, we've been told this was coming, but how can the heart and mind endure it? I have learned this past week that a steady diet of negative input is crippling. It is. Focus on Christ, our relationship to him, and the good there is yet for us to do, and rejoice in knowing the end of evil is just over the horizon. Thank you, Jan. Good text. Appreciate that. Wow, my computer is having issues here. Now let's talk a little bit. What time is it? 9:41. All right, we'll do a little 10-minute segment about this. This article I read kind of struck home. I was like, yeah, she's right. Sarah Wilder wrote it. The article is titled, Under Liberal Feminism, Women Must Become Their Own Knights in Shining Armor. And she references heavily what happened in Charlotte on that train, that trolley, in which Irina Zarudzka was murdered in cold blood by DeCarlos Brown. Brown, who had been arrested and released on cashless bail 14 different times because compassionate judges kept letting him off. For too many in the criminal justice system, the idea of putting an insane man behind bars concerns them more than the threat such individuals pose to innocent life. Zarudzka's murder is rightly sparking viral outrage, yet her death is only one example of the countless ways in which women are victimized by lawless serial offenders who are consistently let off by the justice system that should know better. In the video of Zarudzka's murder, a man sat on the bench near her while the stabbing occurred. The man didn't even ask if she was all right or fetch medical attention, much less do anything to stave off her attacker. He did nothing. Now, the argument made by Sarah in this article is not that there was racially motivated, that the not helping her had anything to do with race. Instead, she said it has to do with the attempt by the left to eliminate what they call toxic masculinity. Instead of a guy saying, hey, wait a minute, you can't do that, or at the very least, if he couldn't stop the attack, he could help the woman who was just attacked. Instead, he sat there and did nothing. These are her words again. There's a segment of men on the right who see stories of women being victimized while men refuse to help as a sort of strange vindication. Women, they argue, have long decried toxic masculinity, and here they finally have what they wanted. Men too frightened of a Karen crackdown to step in and be the saviors and protectors that they could have been. And think about that now. What she's saying is, look, men have been lectured to, have had their finger a finger in their face for now a decade, two decades, saying, men, we don't need your help anymore. We don't need you to be macho and manly and take care of us. We can take care of ourselves. A Karen crackdown, as Sarah Wilder puts it. A Karen crackdown would have happened. Well, what if the man, okay, this is me talking, not the writer. What if the guy had stopped, had seen what was about to happen? I don't know, there would have been time, but what if? And he had stopped the guy. What would the feminists, the Karens, have said about that? Oh, you had no right. She can take care of herself. You had no right to warn her or to stop the guy or to... She was fine. Well, she wasn't, by the way. But that's what they would have said. She would have been fine. She could have taken care of herself. And you say, well, come on, Andy, that wouldn't happen. Surely they would have recognized it as a man stepping in, seeing another man having, I mean, if you watch the video, this guy was, he was getting kind of nervous tics going on. He was being very strange. Surely that wouldn't have happened. The women, the Karens would have said, everything's, it would have been fine. But I bring to you sample example number one, Daniel Penny. Do you remember Daniel Penny? Let me refresh your memory if you don't. Daniel Penny was the Marine in New York on the subway. Remember this now. He was on the subway and he saw a black man acting very bizarre and threatening to kill people and being very a loose cannon, if you will. And Daniel Penny, the Marine, said, you know what? He is going to hurt somebody. He said he was going to hurt somebody. He was, I'm going to kill all you white people. He said stuff like that. And Daniel Penny, a Marine, a former Marine, trained, said, I'm not going to let that happen. And he jumped on this guy and he held him in a chokehold. Now, the sad ending, the man died. But what would have happened if Daniel Penny had said, you know what, it's none of my business. These women can take care of themselves. The what many forget, how this is Sarah again, is the whole altercation is a spotlight on what a society of feminist men looks like. When men are constantly told their masculinity is toxic, then truly toxic murderers such as Brown are allowed to terrorize women unabated. This is no time for men to throw up their hands and act helpless. Saving lives like Zarutska's is worth all the name-calling and character assassination that could be thrown at someone. The legal ramifications that Daniel Penny went through. What a hassle for that guy, right? But Daniel Penny didn't complain about it. It was worth it because he saved people's lives. And wouldn't whatever the Karens would have said about any of the men in that trolley, that car, that train car in Charlotte, wouldn't it have been with it if Irina Zarutska was still alive? I think it would have. This is no time for men to throw up their hands and act helpless. Saving lives like Zarutska's is worth all the name-calling, I repeat. Americans need to summon the stomach required for the fight against lawlessness, which restoring public safety would demand. This is the only way that we avoid future murders such as this one. You know, I talked about last week that Matthew Daines, right? He pushed his wife out of the way. A drunk driver then hit and killed him. His wife was saved. He's dead. And I said to myself, I would do that. My whole life, I've actually gone over that very scenario in my brain and said, if this ever happens, I am totally going to push my wife out of the way. I mean, obviously, I don't want to die. And maybe after I push her, I will, if there's time, I will try to get out of the way too. But I would gladly sacrifice my life for hers. And that's what Matthew Daines did. But when you look at the situation on the train, there was fear. I don't know. Maybe racism, maybe not. I don't know. But nobody lifted a finger. Not before, not during. And actually, it took, a minute and a half before somebody at the other end of the car pushed people out of the way to help her. And, you know, Sarah Wilder in this article makes a good point. It wasn't necessarily about racism. Maybe there was some of that involved. But maybe it was mostly about feminism, about guys going, it's not my job anymore to protect a woman. Because that's what they keep telling me. We don't need you. That's what they keep telling us. I'm glad my wife has never said that. We'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back. Only about 6 or 7 minutes on the show. If you want to call 673-5890, love to hear from you. You can always text me. I got a lot of texts today. Thank you, everyone, for texting. My text line is 467-5842. Those are both 435 area codes. Calling is 673-5890. Texting is 467-5842. Let's take a call right now. Yeah. Hey, what's going on? Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
You bet, Andy. How we doing?
Doing okay, man. It's been a rough week, but we're doing okay.
Yes. So far, we've got through to here from the middle of last week when very, very different.
Yeah.
Very different. Very, very sad. My wife and I went up to the prayer vigil last night at the up there in Washington City.
Mm-hmm.
That was quiet, somber, and a couple of good speakers spoke, and yeah, it's good to be there. Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, and you know, I was really struggling Friday, and then I got to talk with Celeste Malloy, our congresswoman, and she fired me up again, man. I'm like, yeah, let's, you know, it's when you think about, if I speak truth, I might be killed. That's sobering, but she's like, you know what? We've got to lean into this. We've got to continue. We've got to continue speaking what is true.
Yes, I agree, Andy. Just like what I'm doing right now, calling the station, and I feel honored and privileged to be able to do this, to call in and talk on the radio. It's good for me. But Turning Point USA, you know, it's a very good foundation, and I think my wife and I, we're gonna probably donate to it too. So
yeah, great. Thank you for the call. Thank you for the call. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, Andy. Have a great week.
All right. See you later. I was sitting at dinner last night with some family members. And one of them said, you know, Charlie Kirk would have been a good president. Now, he's not old enough yet. He was only 31, and, of course, he's gone now. But so would have had to have been sometime in the future. I think when President Trump is done, he still wouldn't have been, because you got to be 35 years old to be the president. But, yeah, he would have been a great president. He was – the thing about him that I really like is – And so do some of your own research on this. But Charlie Kirk, like, what I mean by that is the left is going to have all kinds of little video clips of why, and almost always out of context, why Charlie Kirk was a bad guy, whatever. The left is going to throw that at you, and they're going to keep throwing it like noodles at a wall until they stick, right? So don't watch theirs and believers anything. Go independently and get some video clips of Charlie Kirk. Maybe go to his, you know, go to his website but do some research on your own. I think one thing you'll find that I found so far in doing that very thing is he was always kind. He was never mean to people. In fact, there's one very prominent video where a clearly man trying to be a woman was trying to debate him. It was a guy, I mean, I think he had a mustache, but he had pink long hair and was wearing a dress, and the crowd was just razzing this person. And Charlie Kirk was like, hey, settle down, be nice. Let's hear what he has to say. Be nice. Now, did Charlie agree with this trans individual? Absolutely not. In fact, he said, no matter how bad you say or want to be a woman, you have the male chromosome all inside. Every inch of your body is male, and no surgery will change that ever. But I was just impressed with not his argument, because I believe that too, but his way of being human and kind to this person when the crowd was clearly very Charlie, pro-Charlie. They were ready to just jeer and point and laugh and do whatever. But he was so kind and so nice. And if you think about it, right now we have a president, and I love our president, and he's doing some great things for our country, I believe. I really do. But he's not really that nice. I mean, he's mean to people. I mean, you know, Creepy Joe and all that stuff. But imagine Charlie Kirk. I hadn't even thought about this. He was a possible future president because it was nice. I think he would have been a good one. I mean, he stuck to his guns. He was very bold, but he was nice too. And honestly, the reason Donald Trump didn't get 90% of the vote instead of, you know, he ended up getting, what was it, 50 or 60 over Kamala Harris, but women 90 had he been a little bit more tactful in some of his things, because I know the country was ready for a change. Joe Biden ran this country to the ground. It's like when you hire a bad coach and the coach turns your team from a 500 team to a winless team. He ran it to the ground. And by the way, UCLA fired their coach after they went 0-3. But it's the same kind of thing. the country needed someone different to be the leader. And they got I think the right man for the job. I think Donald Trump knows what he's doing. But what I was saying was, man, Charlie Kirk would have made a great president. Yeah, maybe 10 years from now, if he was still around. I don't know. We'll never know, thanks to one radicalized young man who took his life away. Uh-oh, music means it's time. All right, I got to go. Be back tomorrow, Washington County Commission. I think we're also going to hear a little more from Celeste Malloy tomorrow. Stay with us. Thanks for listening.